Welcome to Harvest Beyond Sunday, a podcast that seeks to inform and equip the members of Harvest Church, as well as celebrate what God is doing in and through our body.
Hello, Harvest, and welcome back to another episode of the Beyond Sunday podcast. We are continuing on in our summer series on respectable sins. My name is Noah Martin. We're running with a little bit of a skeleton crew this week because Wes, our fearless leader, is actually over in India right now on a mission trip, and Miss Sonia is also out of commission this week. But I am joined by our lead pastor here at Harvest, Ken and Vaughn, familiar voice and face, but rejoining us on the podcast to talk about this past Sunday's respectable sin, which was impatience and irritability. Before maybe I pose the first question, KV, you want to share just a little bit about maybe your heart behind the respectable mm-hmm. sin series for folks who may be tuning in for the first time and haven't really heard kind of the explanation behind the series itself?
Sure. always great to be on the Beyond Sunday podcast with you, Noah. You do an awesome job. You and Wes and Sonia, so great. And I'm a little sad they're not here today. I especially was looking forward to Wes on, you know, just the zany things he might say about impatience, the stories from his life as a forester and just general redneck I thought would have been funny, but it's okay. The Respectable Sin series, as I've mentioned on a few Sundays, is it excited me, as most things do, out of my own just conviction, just thinking, you know, I want a time of God pruning my heart intentionally. That's a promise we have as we surrender ourselves daily to Jesus in John 15, that he prunes us, that we become more fruitful. And I need pruning. And these, you know, Jerry Bridges wrote this book, great book. It's been mentioned various times over the years among our staff. I had seen it a long time ago, maybe flipped through it, but really read it, 6 months ago. And when I did, I just was so convicted and moved and thought, man, this is, I have a feeling I'm not the only one that could stand to benefit from thinking about these actual sin areas that we often, or at least I often, I can't speak for everyone, don't attack with a real desire to put to death the old man, that these are areas that have been where sin is continued to exist, at times even reign, but at least exist in my heart, and yet they're sin. And sometimes we live with it or are far too patient with these sins because they're quote unquote respectable. They're the things that we go, you know, that's just everybody struggles with that, or it's not that big a deal. And when really all of these sins separate us from intimacy with Christ, there's this work that God's promised to do in sanctification, where by his Spirit, he is sanctifying us, conforming us into the very image of his Son. That's the work we believe God's doing. And these are all the ways that the blockages that need to be cleaned out in our heart for that work to really be done. And so just in my own longing to attack some, really to let the Holy Spirit to just intentionally invite, ask, seek the Holy Spirit attacking these areas in my own heart, invited the body to join with me. So it's something I'm excited to do as a church. And again, halfway through it here, the feedback we've been getting from people is that it's just really been the shoe that fits right where they are. It is easy to be complacent in our walk. It is easy to look at the quote unquote big cultural idols of our day and point fingers and even be judgmental and not look at the speck in our own eye as we want to get the log out of somebody else's. And this is a chance to let God get the speck out of our own eyes.
That's great. So again, this Sunday you preached on impatience and irritability. I think something I've really appreciated the whole series is how, you know, these respectable sins, to your point, a lot of times they're really subtle. They feel kind of slippery. Mm-hmm. It's hard to get your hands around them. Mm-hmm. And one thing that I thought was really helpful that you shared at close to the start of your sermon on Sunday was how it can help us to understand impatience by defining its opposite. What is patience? Mm-hmm. So could you talk a little bit more about how you define patience and why it is so essential to the character of God?
Yeah.
How kind of unlike us he is in his ability to show patience and how that's so central to who he is?
Yeah. Well, that's great. That's a big, that's a great question because it recaps so much of what I said Sunday. But you know, the defining patience, I actually know, spent some time on that. Even just a Google search will give you, I can't remember, but it was good. It was simple. It was something like, you know, in the daily distractions and difficulties, your ability to not be provoked anger. I mean, it was something that might be about what it was, if I remember correctly. And just, you know, it's not like it's rocket science to define it. Where I landed and what I gave the body on Sunday was out of Baker's Bible Encyclopedia. Really helpful to me because I saw this, that the Hebrew expression of it talked about slow to anger. But that is contextually used primarily two different ways in the New Testament. So the Greek phraseology or the Greek word used is usually calmness of spirit. I said it Sunday, kind of in the little things, in the mundane, in the inconveniences of life. And I'm no stranger to those. I relate to that definition immediately because that's where I often get impatient, at least most obviously. But then there's this other way it's used commonly throughout the New Testament where it's talking about in our circumstances, are we willing to be long-suffering? Are we willing to trust God with the things that don't make any sense or that we don't understand or that we didn't want or that are, they're causing pain, they're suffering? Can we trust God? Can we be patient with Him? So then to get to the second part of your question, you know, why does it matter that it is such a central core aspect of God's character, which it is. Talked about Sunday, the first time God gives us His name, Exodus 34, I'm merciful and gracious, slow to anger, and steadfast and faithful. That God gives us this kind of long definition of who He is, that its core is patient, long-suffering with us. So can we be patient with a God who's been so patient to us? That's a central question in the long game. And because, man, life is full of hard.
Yeah.
I always remember my dad's wrote that letter to me before he died. And as a 16-year-old, I read it thinking, you know, hoping he was wrong. As a 47-year-old, I read it just knowing how right he was. He just started and said, your life is going to be a struggle. And at 16, I was like, well, I mean, maybe not. Maybe not. But 47, you go, everyone's life is a struggle. Like life is a struggle and struggle is life. And that's what he said. And that's what the Bible says. And so the fact that God has been so patient with us, remembering that, and the calling we have to reflect His patience in this world as His lights, as His ambassadors, as His called, chosen, holy, and beloved, is going to hinge on whether we're willing to be patient with the one who's been patient with us. So I think that that's the unique tie-in. And what I wanted to talk about Sunday is, hey, you might, if you're in one of those seasons, if you're waiting on a mate and it's been a 15-year wait and you're, okay, I'm just tell you this. I'm not going to use his name, but I talked to a guy on the phone. I'm sorry, on a text message. He sent me a long text. We were texting on Friday. And I've known this, I say young man, he's about to turn 40. I've known him for almost 20 years. And he sent me the most desperate text of any communication we've ever had. And I've known him since, you know, just out of college. And in that text, he said, I am so exhausted. I'm so tired. I'm so tired of being at the bottom. Every career dream I've had has just not worked. Every girl I've pursued has rejected me. Like everything I dreamed for as a young man is just not. And he said, I just, man, I don't know. I'm really having a hard time being patient with where I am. And here I am, he didn't even know, 48 hours later, I'm about to preach on impatience. But my heart just, I empathized, I grieved. It was so heavy. And that's not, you know, that's not a light thing. When you're in that, it's really hard to be long suffering. And it's hard to trust God. It's hard to really believe He's there, He cares, He's in it with me. But if we don't remember that's His very name and that's His very character and that's what's true because the Word says it's true, then we will lose hope. We will lose heart. We'll become discouraged. We'll become discontent. So I thought it was critical to talk about even in the little things and certainly in the big things, knowing, remembering who God is the beginning of cultivating the invitation given in Colossians 3 that we talked about. Let the peace of God rule in your hearts. That starts with remembering God's patience with us.
Yeah.
That's so good. And you actually touched on really my second question, which was about that connection between patience and peace, that idea of letting the peace of God rule in our hearts. And I know I'll speak for myself, but I know so many people probably felt the same way. But putting it in terms of those two horizons, like the mundane and the meaningful were the two words that you used in the sermon. That was really helpful to me to think about how, okay, in the everyday, in the Chick-fil-A line, to use your illustration, if I'm practicing patience, which is an active thing, you know, and a hard thing, you have to kind of be aware of it in the moment when you feel yourself kind of slipping into that grumbling spirit. But it prepares you to be patient in those more meaningful things when the horizon's longer. So,
you know, I thought about this in my study last week, but I didn't really talk about it. I think I knew I wouldn't have time to talk about any more than I talked about. But, you know, it's a fruit of the Holy Spirit. It's part of the fruit of the Spirit, patience. So it's a, I think it is a part of our holistic sanctification. It's hard to, you know, it's not like when we're trying to lose weight, or maybe it is in our minds. We want to attack the trouble areas. You know, I'd love to go to work on my love handles or whatnot. You know, like I want to go after, but to just go after your impatience, it's really more a matter of learning to abide with Christ holistically, and part of the fruit of the Holy Spirit being alive and activated in you will be a variety of things, peace, patience, kindness, goodness, gentleness, self-control, but patience is in there. And so you're going to become more patient. And I think that, you know, it just sounds so nice to let the peace of God rule in your heart. And yet the inconveniences of my day often steal that peace. It's me letting them steal it. But if I'm really, if the Spirit is activated and alive in me, if there's this sanctifying process of me being surrendered and Him in control and me being aware of the impulses of the flesh, but actively dying to those, actively being a key word, then I get this gift. Like there's an ability to take a deep breath when I would have had anger. There's ability to see anger subdued and to have literally the, I can't say any better than Paul did to the church at Colossae and the promise that the peace of God kind of washes over your heart and it produces something way better than the impulses of the flesh in those moments produce in my life. The anger, the frustration, the harsh word, you know, bitterness, rage, anger, slander. I'm thinking of Paul in Ephesians writing all those words that come out of those moments in my life when I'm not led by the Spirit. So there's a definitive connection between patience and peace. And the more we practice patience, the more we receive the peace of God. So it kind of makes those things that are super annoying in the day. I don't want to say this wrongly, but I, you know, after my week of study and thinking, kind of look forward to them a little bit because I see the opportunity. You know, there I want to see the Spirit reign and patience cultivated, and I want to know the peace of God. So these little the training wheels are on, but I'm gonna have stuff encounter. Okay, here you go. We'll go right into real life today. I was just thinking in my head. I'm sure something said. Yeah, something huge happened. So my wife was up before me this morning, which happens pretty regularly. She's a super early riser. And she whispered in my ear in the wee hours, like it's you know, I don't know if the sun was risen or not. She said, "We have a big problem," which is not, you know, that's the first, you know, cognitive thought of my day. And she sounded really alarmed. So I thought, oh, I mean, just my mind's going to the worst places. What is it? So I, you know, shake the cobwebs. I say, what's wrong? And she said, "There is a tree that has fallen," and immediately was thinking, oh no, on our home, on our, you know, car, like, where is it? She said, "It's fallen across our driveway." And I was a little bit relieved about that. She said, "But we're completely blocked. And in about an hour, I need to take one son to, you know, this camp, one son to something else. But one of them's got to go to football. One's got to go to work." And she had actually taken a picture of it. And, you know, it's my first thing I'm looking at is a picture of this tree. Totally. And I just, yesterday we had to put our dog down. This could go into a therapy session really quickly. Super sad, super hard. And then the first thing she wakes me up with this morning is, "We've got a big problem." And I'm thinking, and by the way, I had set aside some time this morning to work on a writing project before I came here. And I just saw that's gone. And I felt the impulse begin to rise, the frustration of my impatience, this, nothing just going like I want it to go. I had yesterday afternoon set aside for something other than putting our sweet dog down. Mm-hmm. And I had, who had heart failure and just couldn't go on mm-hmm. anymore. And then I had something other than today. And so I'm out there with my little, you know, mini chainsaw thing that's not really built for this kind of a tree, hacking away. And then I looked down and on my wrist was my little bracelet. And, by the way, I've dragging my sons out there to help me work on this tree. And I'm just not in a good mood. And then I remember, hey, remember God's providence, mm-hmm. the divine care of God that's brought you here. And I was actually, I remember Dylan's sermon maybe 2-3 weeks ago mm-hmm. where he talked about the interruption of having to go to the store gave him a chance to make a call that he hadn't made. And mm-hmm. I just thought, okay, hey, I've got a chance to work on a tree in my driveway with my boys at sunup. Mm-hmm. And I started thinking, you know, 2 years ago, the doctor said I wasn't going to live. Mm-hmm. And here I am with a project, a manhood project with the boys to serve Catherine. And it just, there was an active surrender of my agenda, my will, embrace the inconvenience that God's providence is over. And in that moment, there was that remembrance and that wash mm-hmm. of peace that I needed. And it was just a little thing that prepares me for the bigger things. Mm-hmm. And so this isn't something I was just preached on. This is something I'm living with every day and God's pruning me in this area.
Mm. That's great. My goodness. We could stop there. Well, next question is kind of related to, something we were talking about this at the start with just God's character, patience being so central to who he is. But at one point you talked about 1 Corinthians 13. This mm-hmm. came up in the review a few mm-hmm. minutes ago. You said how this was something that really ministered mm-hmm. to Catherine mm-hmm. afterwards when mm-hmm. you talked with her about it. But this idea that love in 1 Corinthians 13 is described as first being patient. Mm-hmm. Could you talk more about that? Like just the how we're to understand that and our call to love one another.
Yeah. Yeah, you know, if you've read 1 Corinthians 13, many of our listeners probably have, that it gives all these descriptors of what love is, starting with love is patient, mm-hmm. like that, and period, you know, mm-hmm. the very first thing. And we've probably read that so many times. It's always, you know, I don't know. We kind of move past it without thinking about it. Well, when I'm doing this sermon and I was thinking about, I wasn't thinking about 1 Corinthians 13, I was thinking about the law of God. And I was thinking about all the different commandments we have that involve patience. Mm-hmm. And then in the name of God refrain through the Old Testament that is patient. And I just was, and just, it just hit me that the entire Old Testament law was summed up, Deuteronomy 6. And of course, Jesus reiterating in one commandment, the great mm-hmm. commandment, to love the Lord your God with your heart, soul, mind, and strength, and love your neighbor as yourself. That it's love, but we can't have love without patience. Love is patient. So if I really want to do the very thing that would epitomize the entire care, that's what the law does. It reveals the heart of God. If we want to see God's character formed in us and reveal his heart to a world, in the most basic fundamental way is to love people. I'm not going to be able to love people well if I am continually struggling with patience, because patience is core essential to loving. And it just hit me that, yeah, God commands us to be patient all over, but he commands us most centrally to love, and you don't love apart from being patient. Mm-hmm. So it was convicting that's the law of God summed up with love. We don't love without being patient. God commands this mm-hmm. in the most critical way. And I went on from there, of course, to say, I'm even more compelled by the fact that God doesn't just command it. He's demonstrated it in my life. But it was interesting talking to Catherine afterwards. She just got caught. I mean, mm-hmm. she just said, man, that really hit me between mm-hmm. the eyes mm-hmm. that I can't even carry out the most basic, fundamental, critical, quintessential, greatest commandment if this in an area I'm surrendered to God in.
Mm, that's so good. As you were talking, I was thinking too about how I think that really pushes back, speaks mm-hmm. back to what is so often our understanding of love. We think of love as like a mm-hmm. primarily a feeling, an emotion, mm-hmm. but to show patience shows commitment, that love mm-hmm. is a commitment to mm-hmm. continue to love someone, even when they've kind of wounded you, when emotionally you feel like you're at a distance or alienated. So I love that that, again, gives us a countercultural biblical vision of what love is, that it's, you know, it's more than just that, that fuzzy feeling, you know?
Yeah. And you, it, most of the time in the mundane, it's me dealing with another person. Not always. I mean, it could be something like the tree this morning, but most of the time someone has offended me or inconvenienced me or done something unexpected, whatever. Normally it's this, am I able to be patient with someone, that has inconvenienced or offended me? And that's going to be the critical, that's going to determine whether I've got peace in my heart or, again, frustration, bitterness, anger. And then in the long game, in the meaningful, oftentimes it's, can I be, patient with God? Not that we have any right not to be, but again, in the arrogance of my heart, God, who I offend daily with my sinful thoughts, my sinful motives, often my sinful words or actions, so long suffering me. And in the moment there's some circumstance in my life that I don't want, I'm shaking my fist at God. Yeah. It's such a hypocritical, reality when I get out of my own skin and look from 30,000 feet onto my own life and say, my goodness, I want to be able, if nothing else, to love God. I can't love God unless I'm patient with the circumstances that He's either brought into my life or allowed in my life, called me to endure. You know, Job or Peter, it was Satan saying, God gave him permission. I can't always solve the mystery of why I'm experiencing what I'm experiencing, but I know God's sovereign over it. Will I be patient? Will I love Him enough to be patient and long suffering? And so that inextricable link between patience and love did minister to me, convict me this week.
Yeah. Something you said just reminded me of the, I actually brought this up in the review a few minutes ago, but I love the two scenes that you zeroed in on from scripture, the parable of the unforgiving servant in Matthew 18. And then you brought up Jesus's prayer on the cross. You know, Father, forgive them. I was really struck by that contrast, even in the moment, just sitting with that and thinking to myself, man, I really am. If I'm like one of those two individuals, I'm like the unforgiving servant who has been forgiven a debt that I cannot, could not even imagine repaying. And then I turn around and I'm so stingy with mercy, you know, when someone wrongs me, when someone owes me a debt, you know, the littlest thing. And you contrast that with just the image of Christ on the cross. You know, He's paying a penalty He doesn't owe. He's paying our penalty. And His response, even though we, in that moment, we haven't asked for forgiveness, He is saying, Father, forgive them for what they've done. Talk a little bit more about just the juxtaposition there. That just, that really, I found that really captivating, super convicting in the moment.
Well, you've done a great job of bringing forth that juxtaposition there, Noah. And I think, I think that unmerciful or impatient servant parable, hit me between the eyes the same way as you. When I saw it, I was studying something that actually listed it as a footnote. And then I went and just read it. And at first it didn't captivate me, because at first I didn't pay that close attention to the language. And I think it says, I might get this wrong, 'cause I'm not looking at my Bible right now, but I think it says, you know, 10,000, is it, what is it? Is it 10,000?
I can't remember.
I'm going to get it wrong, but it was, the phrase there versus the 100 denarii. Yeah. Okay. That he was owed. Well, the first phrase, that what he owed his master, I thought, is that the same word as denarii? Is it meant to be? And so I actually looked it up. Then I glanced at a commentary to do the math, and I found out it was 200,000 years worth of wages. And then it hit me. Oh, this isn't meant to be talking about a dollar amount. It's meant to be making the point, a wage that you could never pay. And then what he's offended by is the smallest thing. And then I just saw the gospel in that. I mean, I teared up when it hit me, and it never hit me before. That I always thought it was $2 amounts. And yeah, he owed a larger than what was owed him. I didn't realize it was just straight up the gospel smacking you in the face. That's when it convicted me far more than previously. 'Cause then I saw myself, I'm the guy that's been forgiven the debt I could never pay. The 200,000 years of good deeds could never wash away my sin. And I'm impatient with people in the smallest, littlest, dumbest betrayals. Sometimes they don't even know they inconvenienced me. And that's the opposite, as you've so duly noted, of the posture that I want to have that our King displays with us. It was our sin that held him there. And his response is, Father, forgive them. So think about I want that peace of God to rule in my heart. Can you imagine how freeing that would be? And obviously I'm not there. And I know some people who are way further down the road than me. And it's one of those things that is so beautiful. It's so life-giving to be around them. And I covet that. I think that's a thing we're okay to covet, the peace of God reigning in someone's heart. But I take courage in that Colossians invitation because it is given to you and me. It is given to every listener out here. It's not just for, you know, the Paul or the apostle. I mean, it's for every follower of Christ. Let this be true in your life. You can do this. You remember God's providence. You actively surrender to his plan. You rehearse his promises and you'll experience his peace.
That's so good. And a great bridge to that how. We talked a ton about the why and getting into that how of being rare. Can you talk a little bit about you in that second point that you made? You made sure to preface by saying, we can rush ahead to the putting on, that command to put on, therefore, but you slow down and you say, we need to pause on these three adjectives. We're chosen, holy, and beloved. Can you talk more about those and how we kind of practically, how do we rest in that? How do we
apply that? Before I do that, I just couldn't help myself. Your Bible was sitting right there. So I just flipped to Matthew 18.
Sure.
And it does. It's 10,000 talents versus 100 denarii. And again, I just have never noticed that. But the talents and denarii are very different. And you may have a footnote, but the talent one talent is 20 years of wages. And so 10,000 talents, 200,000 years of wages versus 100 denarii. That's the gospel. Okay. So yeah, those three words. When I got to Colossians, I struggled with which passage to anchor this in. I struggle sometimes to preach topically, to be honest with you, Noah. I enjoy when we're going through a book and all I do is read the next passage and that's what I'm preaching on. And it's the words living and active, and the Lord always speaks to you right where you are. It's amazing. But in this topical series, it's, hey, you can pick any text that deals with your topic. And so as I thought about what I wanted to anchor this message of impatience in, the Colossians passage was really ministering to me. And so does Ephesians 4 that just says, as a prisoner for the Lord, live a life worthy of the calling you've received. Be completely humble and patient. That's so umbrella, all-consuming, like Jesus, the call Jesus gave us was deny yourself, take up your cross and follow me. So we have no right to be impatient. It's just an umbrella. But the how to do it is really laid out in Colossians. And I thought that would be what's most helpful. And so I kind of talked for a while about the why, and it took me a little while to get to the passage. But in Colossians, I thought it was a good bridge. The how given in Colossians 3 starts by reiterating the why. And that's kind of the point I was trying to make. I talked about why from Ephesians and from 1 Corinthians 13 and from 2 Peter 3. And then we get to Colossians. It's time to get to how, but you start how by remembering the why. The why is that you've been chosen. That's God's kindness and patience in your life when you were in rebellion. Even if your salvation was as a child, that's the mercy of God. That's before you created a huge mess out of your life. Or maybe it was later as an adult when you had created that mess. And oftentimes then you are really in awe of God's mercy. But in either case, God acted on your behalf before you repented of your sin, before you trusted in him. You were chosen, and you were chosen to be holy, set apart. In the way that most of us, as in the human nature, we're enslaved to our sin, we've been given a better master, Romans 6 says, that's grace. And grace is an incredible master. Grace sets us free from our sin. Well, we don't have to be slaves to impatience. We can have the peace of God rule in our heart. So remembering he's chosen you, he set you apart as holy, altogether different. an impatient culture, but you're to be a patient, spirit-filled, God-fearer, Christ follower in that impatient culture, a light and salt in the darkness of this world. And beloved, I said on Sunday, many people struggle with this, believing that God could really love you. You know, we know our deepest, darkest secrets. I know mine, and I'm not always proud of the thoughts that go through my head, or I'm glad that we don't have to display all of my sin on the screen before every message on Sunday. And if we did, everybody clear on out. They need to hear what I said. But I'll tell you that sometimes it's hard to think that God still loves me or is bearing with me. And yet again, I was blessed. Like, that's who he is. He can't not be himself. He is long suffering with us, his beloved. So just remembering the gospel. You're chosen, you're holy, you're loved, is a great why that sets the table for putting on, as he commands, compassion, kindness, humility, meekness, and patience. We put on Christ, but we do it because he's loved us, he's chosen us, and he set us apart. And we do it in his strength, or we won't do it at all. And so I just love the Colossians passage. It just ministered to me. Remembering who we are, that compels us to put on Christ, that allows us to now forbear and forgive and love others, and that produces in us the peace of Christ. Hmm. So I thought that was most helpful to me. I hoped it would be most helpful to our people. So that's kind of the text we walked through.
That's great. Yeah. That's great. Well, that's about all I have. I was going to ask just one final question. Is there anything from the BRARE, that acronym, and just as a reminder for listeners, so that's... Mm-hmm. R is remember God's providence. Mm-hmm. A is actively surrender to his plan. R is rehearse his promises. And E is experience his peace. Is there anything in those four that's just kind of still burning in your heart that you'd like to zero in on, talk a little bit more about before we close here?
Well, I don't know. I'm glad you said them and we said them again, because in the first service, I don't even know if I said them clearly once. But, you know, again, I think if you want to see victory in this area of your life, it's going to start with the reason I like that word actively. It's not a passive pursuit of patience. Mm. It's not just hoping we'll be more patient next time something happens that frustrates me. The actively surrendering, I think, starts with a daily remembrance of the gospel. That's what I encouraged our people. And I'll say it again, to start your quiet time on those three words, chosen, holy, and beloved. Just remembering that. You know, I'll share this because I'm pretty sure Ronnie would mind. Hope I'm right. He's in Chile right now, so I don't know that he can take up an argument against me, but he's pretty forgiving if he does. He doesn't like me to brag on him, and I can't help it because he drops so many nuggets of gold and wisdom on us. But last week, when I was previewing some of the thoughts I was having before they were really even formed into a message, Ronnie said, "Hey, out of all the stuff you just said, I know God will lead you, but one thing you must say," he said, "tell them to start their quiet times with these three words." He said, I've never thought about that, and I've not done that. Yeah, so just remembering the gospel is the starting place for actively surrendering to God's plan and putting on Christ. And so looking back, to put on today, to go forward forgiving and forbearing and loving, and you'll experience his peace. That's a promise, which I love, because every promise is a yes in Christ. So I'm praying for you, if you're listening today, that as you seek to be rare, that RARE, in a day of impatience, that you are patient remembering God's providence and actively surrendering to his plan and rehearsing his promises, that you will experience his patience today. That's my prayer.
Awesome. Well, KV, thank you for joining us. Always, it's great having you on. And there's just so much there, as we talked about in the preview and review. I'm glad we had this opportunity to spend about a half hour just diving deeper. And I know this is, we're going to really minister to our body. But I know you said this from the stage on Sunday, and I just want to reiterate as one of those younger guys who've had an opportunity to be up in the pulpit this summer, but we are so thankful to you guys as a church body for the encouragement that y'all offer to us as we're kind of getting our preaching chops. But also just want to say how thankful we are as well to have a leader who issues that invitation to us each summer. It's something that we don't take for granted, and very thankful to be in a church and to be under leadership that is so supportive as we're in pursuit of ministry. So just want to say those final words, and reminder to join us again next week. Next Wednesday, we'll be back with another episode. This Sunday, we'll hear from Associate Pastor Brooks Kimmy, pastor to young families. He's going to be talking about envy, jealousy, and related sins. So I feel like every week, you know, I keep thinking, oh, that's the haymaker. Nope. And then the next week, that's the haymaker.
wish I had a week off in there, but the Lord, right. Lord's working on me and working on us. And thanks for what you're doing, Noah.
Thanks, Kenan. All right. Y'all hit like, subscribe, and we'll see you again next week.